The Canvas. Marcus Westbrook had knocked on 11 doors on the near downtown side of the tracks by the middle of his first afternoon on the job, and it was on the walk to the 12th, past the little bricked-over church on Bell Street, that he understood he had been walking this ground his whole life without ever once being the person who was supposed to knock. He was 26. He had a clipboard the housing group had given him that morning, with a stack of the same one-page flyer clipped to it, and a lanyard, and a route drawn in yellow marker over a photocopied map, and a speech he had practiced in the car that already sounded wrong in his own mouth. The group was small and new, and worried about one thing, which was that the whole town had decided at the same moment to become expensive. Everywhere Marcus drove that spring of 2007, there was scaffolding and a sold sign and a rendering on a fence of a building that did not exist yet. Tall, clean condominiums with people in the drawing who did not look like anyone he knew, and the money that was building all that had begun. The way money does to press outward from downtown into the old cheap streets around it, the streets south of the railroad where the rents had always been low because nobody with a choice had wanted to live next to the tracks. People with a choice wanted to live there now, and so the people without one were getting letters. That was the job. Find the people getting the letters before the letters came and tell them they did not have to open the envelope alone. He knew these streets. That was the strange thing pressing on him as he walked. His family had been on this side of the tracks, or just north of it, for 100 years, since a woman named Sarah Hamilton, who had been born a slave in Louisiana and had come out of all that to own ground in Reno, gave a lot on Bell Street to a congregation of 7 so they would have somewhere to be. That congregation had built the little church Marcus was walking past now and had wrapped it in brick when the town would not let them build a better one, and had made it for most of a century the one address in a hard town that was reliably theirs. His great-grandmother had sung in it in a hat. His grandmother had grown up in the raw new lots of Black Springs north of here, sitting up nights with the neighbors doing arithmetic about how to get water piped to houses the county would not pipe to, and had gotten the water, in the end, by refusing to be told the answer was no. His mother had spent 30 years going into kitchens and county offices and cheap motel rooms after the people the town had decided not to see. Wanting things for people who had been told plainly not to want them was, his mother liked to say, the family trade, and Marcus had spent most of his 20s politely declining to go into it. He had drifted instead. He had done a couple years at the university and some jobs that were only jobs, and he had listened to his mother not ask him what he was going to do with himself, which was worse than asking. And then this spring, somebody from the group had come to speak at a meeting his mother made him drive her to, at the church over in Sparks, where the Bell Street congregation had moved when Marcus was a boy, and the speaker had said a plain thing that Marcus had not been able to put down since, which was that a neighborhood does not get taken all at once. It gets taken one family at a time, quietly, in the mail, and that the only thing that had ever slowed it anywhere was people who knew each other going door to door before the mail did. The 12th house was a small stucco place with a chain-link fence and a rose bush somebody watered. Marcus stood at the gate and made himself look at it the way the group had trained him, not as scenery, but as an address where people lived who had a right to go on living there. He thought about the church behind him, empty of its people now, kept standing by a line in a federal register while the congregation that built it worshipped 3 miles away in Sparks. The building had been saved. He had grown up proud of that. The plaque, the listing, the record that said his people were here and it counted. But a building was the easy thing to save, he was starting to see. You could save a building by getting it declared historic, and then everyone could feel good and drive past it. Saving the people was the other job, the one nobody gave you a plaque for, the one his mother and his grandmother had done their whole lives with no register to enter anybody in, and it did not happen from a distance, and it did not happen once. It happened at a chain-link gate on a Tuesday, 12 houses in, with a clipboard and a speech that sounded wrong. An older woman came to the screen door before he had decided how to begin. She looked at the lanyard and the clipboard with the particular flat patience of someone who had been surveyed and studied and counted her whole life by people who then went away, and she did not open the screen. "Whatever you're selling," she said. "No, ma'am, I'm not selling." Marcus put the practice speech down where it belonged, which was nowhere, and told her the true thing instead. "My name's Marcus Westbrook. My people are from over on Bell Street and up in Black Springs. I'm going door to door because there's money coming into these blocks and it's going to start showing up in your mailbox. And some folks are trying to get in front of it together before anybody has to figure it out by themselves. That's all. I just wanted you to know somebody's paying attention on your side of it." The woman looked at him a moment longer. Something in the two names, Bell Street and Black Springs, had moved a little behind her face, the way a name does when it belongs to you too. "Westbrook?" she said. "You any relation to the ones got the water up to the springs?" "That was my grandmother," Marcus said. "And her people." The woman unhooked the screen door. He did not go in yet. He stood on the step with the door open in front of him and the church at his back, and the whole overpriced town going up beyond both, and he felt the family trade close over him the way water closes over you, not all at once, from the feet up, and he understood that he had been resisting exactly the thing he had been made for. There were 100 more doors on the photocopied map. He was going to knock on every one of them, and then he was going to come back and knock on them again, because that was how it was done, and because he came from the people who did it. "You want to come in out of the sun?" the woman said. It was not quite a question. "Yes, ma'am," Marcus said, and stepped through the door. Historical note, in the mid-2000s, before the 2008 crash, downtown Reno's pre-recession building boom pushed rising rents and redevelopment outward into older, lower-income neighborhoods near the railroad, including historically black areas around Bell Street. The city of Reno had created a downtown redevelopment area in 2005. Bethel AME Church at 220 Bell Street, whose land was donated by Sarah Hamilton, a Reno property owner born into slavery, was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 2001, 8 years after the congregation relocated to Sparks. Black Springs, north of Reno, was officially renamed Grandview Terrace in 1990, but is still widely known by its historic name.